Gratitude, get loose. Let loose. Just let loose of gratitude. But then managing that gratitude. How do you manage gratitude? Sometimes it's easy when you experience something so wonderful that you can just, you're shocked, you're overwhelmed, and you're so excited that you kind of let loose. But then sometimes we say, well, you know, it probably wouldn't be the smartest move to be acting like that here. You know, people might not appreciate it. They might not understand. And that's when we kind of manage it. We kind of stifle ourselves. If you believe TV commercials, you would probably think that the Disney Company has a monopoly on the toy and entertainment industry. It seems as if most kids want nothing more than to meet Mickey Mouse and visit Cinderella's castle. It's every child's dream to visit Disney World, isn't it? You know, that's what the commercials seem to say. A series of Disney commercials a while back would lead us to believe that this is to be true. These ads, which are apparently are taken from home video footage, picture children waking up from a good night's sleep to hear their parents happily tell them to get dressed because they are going to Disney World today. The kids are ecstatic. They're going crazy. They jump on their beds. They're screaming. They're laughing. They're leaping for joy. They're hugging and thanking their parents. It's a picture of uncontrollable gratitude. Now, a friend of mine wanted to pull a similar stunt with his family a few years ago. He booked the reservations to Disney World. He purchased the airline tickets for the whole family. He even invited his parents and his in-laws to join them. Maybe I think they wanted maybe some babysitters. I don't know. But like the commercial, he wanted to keep it a surprise for his whole family until the morning of the departure. But Jim's mother-in-law knew that this was not the best idea in the world because she knew her daughter. And she knew that her daughter would not appreciate the surprise because Kim likes to plan and prepare. It gives her more time to build up her excitement and find ways to show her gratitude. You see, gratitude is a wonderful asset because it does a world of good for both the giver and the receiver. Words of thanks offer a richness to life that make it more meaningful. And yet, there are many different ways people express and manage their gratitude. Through the word manage, though, that word manage may not be the most suitable one here to describe what we do with our gratitude. Sometimes we cannot control or hold back our thankfulness. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed, we're overjoyed. We let it loose like those kids that are going to Disney World. And then there are those circumstances when we act like Kim, carefully mapping out our expressions of thanks. Carefully mapping them out so that we can be just prepared. You see, both ways are valid because when something good happens, it's natural to leap for joy and hug the person responsible for sharing the good fortune with you. Yet, it's also important that our expressions of gratitude be more than lip service. There should be some substance behind our words. There should be something behind them that gives them that oomph. Both kinds of responses are evident in the example today in the woman that we have just read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Here we find a sinful woman, a woman from the city, it says in verse 37, entering the home of Simon the Pharisee, where Jesus was eating dinner. Now, Simon says that it is not good for a man's reputation to be seen with this woman. And he tells Jesus, if you are the prophet, if this man's the prophet that he says he is, he would know what kind of woman that is touching him right now. He would know that she is a sinner. A sinner. No doubt others in that room that day held the same view of this woman, but Jesus did not. He welcomed her intrusion. She came right in. While Simon and Jesus were reclining on pillows at the table, she sweeps in to wash Jesus' exposed feet with her tears and she dries them with her hair. And then she anoints his feet with that perfume, that jar of alabaster ointment. Her gratitude is let loose. And yet there is an element of preparation in what she has done. She entered the house with the jar in her hand. She came prepared to serve and thank her Lord. She had given some thought that day to what she was going to do. She was thinking about how to take care of this, how to pay her Lord a visit, how she could do this. And now she was ready to offer her gratitude to Him. Of course, that leads us to wonder why she was so grateful. What kind of woman is she? What had Jesus done for her? Evidently, she had previously learned about Jesus and discovered God's grace. Her life had been changed and she needed to express her thanks. Something in her life was wrong, but she had experienced God's grace and she wanted to change. She wanted something good to come, and all of a sudden it had just overwhelmed her. John's gospel tells us that she was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus. And in Matthew's gospel, our host, that Pharisee, is identified as Simon. And Simon had a skin disease. That's what it tells us in Matthew's gospel. He needed healing. He needed forgiveness. He needed God's grace in his life, but he had not quite yet figured that out. But while Mary's actions may seem just a little bit over the top, true gratitude is not something that can be faked, because it springs forth as a response to what one has received. The woman, Mary, in our text today, was so overcome with emotion at having received a great gift. You see, the difference between this woman and Simon is that she willingly received the gift of God, the gift that He offered her. How many of y'all have ever been given something and you say, oh, no, I can't take that. I can't accept that. Oh, no, you keep it. You take it. Well, you know, sometimes we feel like we're not worthy of it. And when we receive things, and we try to be nice and give it back or say, no, give it to someone else. But sometimes you need to think about that. Some years ago, a friend of mine was given a car by her parents, and she was 30-some years old. And she came to me and she said, I cannot let them give me this car. I'm a grown woman. I work hard. I try hard. But her car had kind of fell apart. And it didn't, there was not a whole lot there for her to find something worth driving. And I said to her, she said, why, I can't accept this. I said, why can't you accept this? I said, did you go ask your parents for a car? And she said, no. I said, have you been, moaning and groaning and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do? She says, well, not really out loud, but I have been doing it inside, saying, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, do you think maybe the Lord might have answered your prayers? Do you think maybe that your parents want to do this as a form of showing you that they love you and that they care about you? And now, in this stage in their life, they can afford to do this for you, or they wouldn't have offered to do it for you in the first place. I said, they don't want anything in return. They just want to give you something that you need to make your life better. I said, they've already given so much to your siblings. I said, and you've never asked for anything. Take it. Receive it. And guess what? Let them receive a blessing in giving it to you, because it made them so grateful, so thankful, and so to be able to give her something in return. And she finally let it happen. She finally accepted it. And it's been a joy in these past few years for her to be able to get to work and to do the things that she needs to do. And her parents are tickled, as the saying is, they're just tickled to death. They're so excited they were able to help her. Sometimes we take away other people's joy when we don't allow them to share that love with us. We need to receive something and accept it and thank people. And it might, that car is a pretty big thing. But it could just be, hey, I wanted to share this with you. I had extra. Or, hey, I thought about you. I cooked you a pie. Or, hey, I thought about you. I wanted to bring you this. Just say thank you and take it and go on. Receive it. Receive it. Today, Mary received a great gift. And in turn, she wanted to serve and show her Lord how much she loved Him. And in doing so, she received yet again an overwhelming gift. The people around her began to slowly understand, but most of them still did what? They judged her for who she was, who she had been, who she used to be. You know, so many times we get judged for who we used to be, what we might have done in our past, what someone might have thought they saw or heard or done, but maybe you might not have been there. You see, Mary knew of her need for forgiveness. So when she received that grace that day, she was consumed. But you see, Jesus' emphasis this day, He emphasizes a point by telling a little parable about the debtors. He says, I need to tell you a story. How many times did Jesus tell a parable to get a point across? He said there was two debtors. One owed a little and one owed a lot. And all of a sudden, this creditor, the man who gave them that money, wiped the slate clean. And of course, Jesus uses this to ask Simon, which of them will love Him more? Which of them will love Him more? And Simon says, the one who had the largest debt canceled out. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. He's expected to rejoice because he had received more. And to the one who has given much, he tells Simon, much is expected. So you and I who have received so much in this world, much is expected of us. When we know God's grace and God's glory for ourselves, much is expected of us to show that, to live that, to be that, for others to know it. Much is expected of us. You see, on this matter today, actions do speak louder than words, for they reveal much about what each person has received. The woman was so thrilled with the gift that she received that she bathed the feet of Jesus with tears and kisses, and she poured perfume upon them. She received much and offered much in return. But Simon did not even offer the common courtesy of a host, washing the dusty feet of his guest when they entered his house. For whatever reason that day, Simon had not yet experienced God's grace in his life. Perhaps he wasn't looking for it, or maybe he thought he didn't need it. Have you ever thought about this? Well, I don't need that. I'm okay. I know the Lord. You know, who am I? But regardless of whatever the reason might be, Simon had failed to receive God's gift. Grace wasn't being withheld that day. Simon had simply not welcomed it into his heart. Simon had not believed. Simon had not opened up his heart to allow the goodness and the grace that was coming from Jesus to be known. And Simon was there. Back in those days when people traveled, they walked where they went, and their feet were dirty and dusty. And when you went to someone's house, the first thing you did was you took off your sandals at the door, and somebody was right there with a basin of water to wash your feet, to welcome you into their home, to find you a place to sit down. Sometimes they anointed you. Sometimes they hugged you and kissed you. A kiss on the cheek to welcome you and say, come in, have a seat, come stay a while, come rest. And see, Simon had not done just the basic stuff. He hadn't done anything. You see, when we welcome God's gift into our lives, we will naturally respond with gratitude, which brings joy to God. Jesus was so overjoyed at what the woman did, and while Simon was concerned about managing the appearance of a known sinner in his home. Have y'all ever tried to manage somebody? We probably all have. We probably all have tried to manage a situation. When we see somebody, when we hear somebody, when we know somebody's there, and we have to explain them to someone else. Jesus did not worry about his reputation that day. He defended this woman. He defended Mary. He was excited to see her life transformed, and therefore he didn't discourage her grateful, over-the-top behavior. He sets an example for you and me. for us this day, the best way we can manage our gratitude is to share our thankfulness with God and with others. This is more than just lip service because it demands that we bring forth our alabaster jars and do something tangible for God and for others. Let us pray. Lord, thank you this day that you give us all the opportunity to find that alabaster jar and to use it, to be able to serve you where you put us, in the situations, in the places that we are. And Lord, just remind us of it's not our place to judge those around us. It is our place to serve them in all that we do. It is our place to be called forth to love them. It is our place to be like the woman, Mary. To be like Mary and to show our gratitude, our faith, our love, our commitment, our dedication, and our devotion to someone, to say, I love you. I care about you. Thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you so much for all that I have received. Because we are all broken people. We are all broken vessels who need to be spilled out for our Lord, who need to be spilled out so He can use us, so He can pick up those pieces and put us back together, and to use us for His grace and His glory, to use us each and every day. So, Lord, we thank you that you've allowed the gratitude in our hearts and our being to be let loose on the world and try to refrain us from trying to manage what it is you would have us do. Be with us now. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 706, Soon and Very Soon. Know that our altar is always open for you to come. Hymn number 706, stand if you can and if you will.